Seasons, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hello, hello, everybody. Hi. I'm sorry we let you down. We took off a week this last period. It's the summer, you know. Things are busy and all, and we let you down. So I'm going to apologize from the bottom of my heart right off the top of the show, Mike. Please offer your sincere apologies too, please.
Yeah, I needed a week off to count all the millions I have. Apparently it's zero, but I need that week to confirm it. I'm like, I just kept on going back to the bank. Are you sure?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, not even close.
Did you
probably owe us money, to think of it.
Did you try saying, I'm a god, though? You know, and see if that works
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, they kind of called over the guard, so I had to try to watch myself there for a minute.
All right, God, get in the car. Let's go.
This is not please God.
Yeah, so this, if you tune in 2 weeks ago, we were discussing how one episode Mike decided that he was going to call. Like he's went from this kind of, I don't know. We're seeing the evolution of Mike over the last 3 years or so, where he's built this idea that he shows up places and fan bases rush him. It's kind of like a midlife fame crisis that I think he's having. And, you know, it worked his way up to his legions of fans. And then about 3 weeks ago, he proclaimed that he's a god. And now it's really been interesting because we've gotten some new fans over the last couple weeks who've been interacting with the show. So thank you. Shout out to Groovy Joan, if you will. And a couple others, but and she literally said, "Hey, Scott and God."
Yeah, that was so sweet of her. I'm like, your God thanks you. I don't know, you know. I mean, again, I will say I'm not the God, and they're just like, you know, like God in training. I'm a git.
So, you're a God amongst many gods, is what you're saying. You're kind of like more of like the Roman Greek kind. You're not more like Catholic or Jewish, where there's just one and only. You're more in the
there's probably like a good few thousand, maybe few hundred thousand, you know, nothing where you go, oh well, he's almighty. It's like, nah, I just do my thing, and you know, you're welcome.
100,000? Then I feel like it's not even special if you're a god. If there's 100,000.
Well, I never claimed that. You're the one that took it in a new direction just because I called myself God.
No. What? So I'm
Yeah. You took that sentence and just took it to a different direction, Scott, and I don't appreciate it, and nor does the fans.
I mean, 100,000 becomes like, I don't know, like you ever a fan of like a band or a show early on, and then like all of a sudden they got millions of fans, and you're like, oh, like in some ways you're like, oh man, they're too big. You're like, now everybody noticed. I thought I was unique. That's kind of what 100,000 gods is like.
Well, you know, when like people were listening to our podcast like 5 or 6 years ago, as we were building the audience, they could go, oh, this is special that, you know, I had this one and only God. And then now as time goes by, it's like, I like their original stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're still hanging in there. I mean, with 100,000 gods, I feel like each god's got to be unique in some way, though. That's a lot of people with like different powers and different beliefs and different sects of people. Like, if you had 100,000 gods and each person like worshipped a certain god, how many followers do you actually have?
Well, it varies, you know. I mean, now that we're talking about it out loud, I seriously think we have to copyright 100,000 gods and make like a TV series about this because,
yeah,
because I feel we could get some good writing on this, you know, where it's just something like, yeah, I'm the god of plumbing. What? Yeah, like every time your toilet got clogged, you pissed me off.
Yeah, so. Like what exactly would you possibly be the god of?
I don't know. Maybe like summer games, you know, like croquet or something like that.
Out of all the things in the world, you just chose the god of croquet.
Well, all the, some, like, you remember lawn darts? I'm still the god of that. Horseshoes, that's me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cornhole. Cornhole. Oh. You do some cornhole. You should be talking to me a little more.
Well, right before that, I was going to say, are you just naming all the yard games from 1951? or are you going to, like, step into the present at all? Because we're going...
Hey. I pick what I want a god, okay?
Okay.
I don't have to choose the whole bucket, if you will. That's the real god.
God's gonna god.
I am going to do my little thing here. I do it well. You know, if people pray to me, you know, maybe you get a ringer during your 4th of July horseshoe game, okay?
So in your mind, someone's like down by 2 points. They need 3 to win. They're at horseshoes and they're like, "All right, hold on, let me take a second." And they're like, "Okay. Please God of croquet, the Georgian god that we pray to, Michael Berlew, please let me hit this ringer if you hear me." And then like you're sitting there scratching your dog's belly, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, what? Like, I hear something. And you're like, okay, you can do it. And then
hold on. Now maybe his opponent does the same kind of prayer and says, please make sure they don't hit this, and then had to make a decision. That's the power I have.
So there's a whole, like, debate that happens.
Yeah. I mean, if they both do it at the same time, I can't grant both of them.
So
I got to do my thing.
You almost like check like a naughty list in some way. Like you're kind of.
There's very specific rules and things I have to consider. You know, I mean, where are they playing these games? You know, how good of a person they are.
Oh, so now you're diving into their character and everything else in their life. So. Well, now what's your speed time on this? Are they waiting at the horseshoe pit? Like, come on, God! Like,
yeah, that's the biggest problem because you know sometimes I got other stuff to do and they got to wait an hour before they throw that final horseshoe.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
It's complicated, but you know I try my best.
The other team hates it though when someone prays. Everyone's like, "Did he just say the God of lawn games?" And they're like, "Oh man, like we can't finish this for a legit hour."
Well, I mean, if they piss me off, then I just make them do a quadruple ringer so somebody gets 12 points and wins, so.
Now, is there like a certain prayer or something that they say that conjures you up?
No, I think it'd just be like, yo, Mike, I really need to hit this ringer. I'm like, oh, okay.
So you're a very casual guy. They just go, yo, Mike, and you hear it, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They don't have to be like, Berlew in the sky. Please help me.
I'm not egotistical where you guys like, get on.
No, you're not egotistical at all. I mean, no, not at all. You just call yourself a guy. I mean, it's no big deal.
The lawn sports god, okay?
Yeah.
The full title, I want it.
One day when we get interns or like production assistants, I just need them to dive into old episodes and just harvest the nonsense that's come out of your mouth over the years. Like, it would, between your inventions, your titles, your nicknames, like, we would have a very interesting episode if we could just dissect all these over the years.
Yeah. And then we wouldn't have to worry about missing an episode because it'd just be like, this week, random stuff Berlew talked about.
Well, I might have thrown a greatest hits up. I haven't really decided. So right now I'm talking in the future because we're recording this on Wednesday night. Oh. So I might throw a greatest hits up. So if you enjoyed last week's episode, awesome. If we didn't have an episode, I'm sorry. Only the god of podcasting would know that, would know what happened.
Yeah. His name is Tim. he's not a fan of me. If you look at our numbers, you know he's not a fan of me, even though I talk to him all the time.
So Scott's interesting. You remember how I told you I basically did three really weird kind of dud comedy shows like 2 weeks ago. And then I had a good one. Mm-hmm. Well, we're back, baby. We're back. We're back in the market of now. You told me I'm the outdoor comedy guy, right? So I got booked on this gig in New Windsor, New York, So it was about an hour and 15 minutes.
A home of comedy.
Mecca. The Mecca, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. I was like following Burr, and then Rogan came in, Chappelle. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. But, if you don't make it in New Windsor, you're nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's just an honor to even play in New Windsor. You know, just.
Yeah. Like they actually have a bouncer at the city limits. Like they don't just like let any comedian. They're like, wait. You're an open mic, or get away from New Windsor, okay?
Yeah, New Windsor Wally, I believe his name is, but
NWW.
So I took this show months and months ago. Like, oh, it's this. I was told that it had to be a clean-ish show, which is no problem. I'm not really dirty, you know. That can be if I want to be, yeah. But for the most part, I would say my act is PG-13. That would be what I would rate. Yeah,
that's how you came on to your wife when you first met her, by the way. You're like, I just want to let you know, I'm not really that dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I mean, you snuck one in, you got a child, so good for you, but continue with
there
the story.
You go. Yeah. By the way, I have a side note. I just have, there's a show, I believe it's on Disney. I don't know, but it's a show called Bluey. Now, we watched this show called Cocomelon, which is just like kids are like, that, 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 that. It's awful. And the dad is definitely a serial killer, and I'm going to dive more into that eventually. And it's annoying. So we put this show Bluey on, and, dude, it's pretty brilliant for a kid show. It's probably a little above where my kid is at, but it's, like, tolerable to put on the TV. But all I just have the song in my head all day long. Mom! Dad, bingo, and Bluey, and then the show starts. But that's in my head like all the time. And they're dogs. They're dogs, Mike. They're dogs. So you might like the show. They're a family of dogs, and. It's pretty cool because like the dad actually like farts and like he was like blowing it out in the bathroom one day and they caught him and there was like oh you know. So there are like some laughing moments, but anyway, so completely sidetracked. So back to New Windsor. Back to New Windsor. So I took the show months ago. He said it had to be family, kind of family friendly, clean, no problem, and it was good pay. So I'm like, this is fine. The day's leading up, he's like, oh, you good for a Thursday? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, I'm good. Or Wednesday, I'm good. I'm like, where is it? And he's like, oh, blah, 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 park. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, is it outdoors? He's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, how clean are we talking here? He's like, oh, like, there's going to be kids walking all over the place. And then, like, I'm like, so right off the bat, outdoor, squeaky clean. Kids running around. So right away,
and not just any kids, just random kids walking around the park, as he described.
Pretty much. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm booked. I got to do the show. So I go to the show, and I pull up, and it is just this long, long field. Like I'm talking like football length, but narrow. And I'm like, oh God. And I see about 50 people scattered throughout the field. Now, I'm talking lawn chairs 100 yards away by the road, and then the stage is in front of, like, a gazebo, and the nearest audience member is, no lie, 20 yards away. And I'm like, oh, boy. Average age, 75 years old. All old people. And I'm like, oh, boy. And I'm performing with Gemini, who is a magician, and if you've worked with Gemini before, he's a nut. He's just like, hold my rabbit, baby. Yeah, like, ooh, you know, he's just like very eccentric character. Funny, but, and I'm like, oh, God. And that's his thing. He just does like family friendly events because he's a magician and all. So, like, at one point, they're like begging people to move up and come closer. So, a couple people got closer, maybe within the 15 yard mark. So, we're still talking like 45 feet away, you know, 45 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Which, those of you, if you think this sounds good, comedy does not work like barely outside, never mind people being extremely far away. And there's still people. There's free hot dog. Oh, free hot dogs going on during the show also. So
oh, nice.
You got people migrating to get hot dogs. Sure enough, as the show's about to start, 15, 20 kids running around, like little kids, like 6-year-old kid. So host goes up. He eats it. Does not do well. I go up. I mean, my set was fine. I had like it was the best it could have possibly went, but like even at one point I told the joke about being cheated on, and the audience gets all tight and they're like, one woman goes, family show. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? The kids aren't even paying attention. And is that how family we are? You know, like it was the first time ever a 8-year-old like kind of heckled me. Like he was kind of like, he volunteered in one bit. He's like, yeah, I know that. And I'm like, okay. And then I actually like crowd worked with an 8-year-old a little bit. And his grandma was like holding him tight. Like, oh God, what is this guy going to say to him? What is this guy going to say to him? But, yeah, dude. After that I got 2 hot dogs and like just drove kind of like miserably home. So the streak is alive is what I'm saying. The streak is back. You did say I'm the outdoor comic. So apparently that's all I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, Scott, I feel walls are your enemy. I feel COVID has showed you the way of comedy.
Yeah.
And it's in an open field.
Yeah.
If I could say what you should have done was just plopped all the free hot dogs right in front of the comedians so people were forced to come close to the comedy.
So even better, you have people not listening to the show. They're just walking toward the stage to grab a hot dog while people are trying to pay attention to you.
Yeah, well, that way the woman, as you just talked about, you know, my wife cheated on me. She could have just grabbed the microphone. No, this is New Windsor. This is a clean park, okay? Dude. None of your smut mouth in New Windsor Park.
And then a little update. A week ago, I told a story about this weird guy begging me for comics, and he asked me for 4 recommendations or headliners and if they're available, and kept reiterating, it's got to be a really serious headliner, blah, blah, blah. So he keeps messaging me. I'm like, dude, you need to let me know if I'm going to hire blah, 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 because he's going to be booked. And I told him that this is the show. And he's like, I need a couple more days. I need a couple more days. I'm like, Jesus Christ. They're like, me and my partner, we're checking out the videos. We're checking them out. We're just not. I'm like, how big is the audience? At one point I asked him, I was like, how? And he's like, oh, like, 45. I'm like, what? I'm like, what are we doing here? And so he's like, I think we're going to go with him. Friday comes when I told him I need to know by this day. Oh, we're going to go with this guy. We're good to go. I'm like, great. Finally. Day later. Hey, Scott, sorry. The venue closed. The Coast Guard shut it down.
What? What is going on in this city that comedy ends because of the Coast Guard?
They're like,
were you going to be on a pirate boat?
Yeah, I got to find this guy's message. But yeah, he literally was like, the Coast Guard or, yeah, Scott, this, here we go. Got it. All right. So I left off. What size crowd are we talking here? About 45, 50 people. I'll give you the address over the weekend. Sunday morning comes. Good morning, Scott. I just got an email from the client that August 21st, the job is going to be Anya Marina, the Coast Guard, has to close our place, and she doesn't know when it's going to reopen. I'm sorry, I have no control over this. I've had this account for 10 years. Correction, the job is going to be on the marina right by the water. So, Mike, I guess I was going to be outside again. And then it says the Coast Guard has closed her place for the entire summer. This woman sells boats on the marina. The Coast Guard shut her rental business down. She could be making this up. She could not be making this up. I've had this account for over 10 years. At this point, I still wasn't sure if the show was off. I'm like, are you telling me like they're moving it? And he's like, she cannot do the show. They shut her down.
You know what this sounds like? Remember, it sounds like a bad pitch for the scene in Breaking Bad. Remember when they were laundering money and they had to try to figure out the best place to like bring in the meth money?
Yep.
It sounds like something like that, where it's like, we can own a marina and we can have comedy shows there, and that's how we're gonna
or
bunch of numbers to bring it in.
Or maybe the comedy show was a cover up for like some serious drug deal that was going down. Like under each seat was like a bag of coke that they bought for with the ticket admission. The comedy show was just the cover up part of it.
I kind of pray like he was kind of lying and this was like a recurring thing that happens at this club. Or it's like some guy's midway through the jokes and it just, you hear a door just bust open. It's like, ah, crap, the Coast Guard again. Damn it. Close it down. They found us.
Run, run, or swim, swim. Yeah.
Jump on the buoy and tell your penis jokes on that.
What I'm saying is I'm clearly killing it in the comedy game. I've had torrential downpours, open fields with grandmas everywhere and children. And now one of my next shows got shut down by the Coast Guard. So basically, I'm in all your most wanted venues, people dying to get in these shows, and I'm getting booked everywhere.
I feel you're going to get a text from this guy next week. It's like, Scott, the Coast Guard can't get us in international waters. Blah, 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 blah.
We secured a ship. Can you and your headliner meet us here? We're black.
You know? Yeah, we got the 45 people on an oil tanker. It's all going to work, baby. It's going to be okay. We just got to get 3 hours into the ocean, and then we can start a comedy show.
And while you're at it, can you please send me 4 videos of each comic before they before we board the boat?
Yeah. Scott, before you get on our drug mule oil tanker, we just realized you had a joke about your wife cheating on you. That doesn't really work here. I'm sorry.
I didn't mention the boat was in New Windsor.
There are things we can tolerate, but not cheating jokes, Scott. No. We can't tolerate cheating jokes or the Coast Guard.
Yeah, so if you guys want to catch one of my shows, I'll be at a clam hut next week and a toll booth on the parkway in Weehawken the following week. I'm killing it is what I'm saying. I'm killing it.
Scott, we figured out that the Coast Guard has no jurisdiction in the air. Would you mind doing your comedy act while we have you tied to a kite and fly you in the air?
And I need a really strong headliner.
A very lightweight headliner too, please.
I don't know, man. There's days where I'm like, what am I doing with myself? Like, I left my wife and kid for this, to drive to the middle of a field somewhere for free hot dogs and tell jokes for 25 minutes. Brutal. Anyway.
Honey, yeah, remember that $50 I was getting? Yeah, long story short, the Coast Guard's got me in jail. I need $350 to get busted out.
I'm in sea prison.
Yeah, you remember that scene in Avengers? I'm in that jail. Like, Iron Man is right next to me. This is very weird.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I guess we'll shift gears to a group of people that actually has promise of playing in real venues and getting some success here. So we have we're going to segue to our guest, I should say. We have 4 guests on tonight that make up the group Seasoned, spelled S-Z-N-S. And they are 4 girls, and they're kind of an up-and-coming kind of pop dance group putting out a bunch of different types of music, all musically talented girls, and they're all named after each season. Now, these are not the 4, not to be confused with Frankie Valli and the 4 Seasons, Mike. These are Seasons.
I have nothing but questions for Frankie Valli, so I'm not sure what we're going to do in the next half an hour.
So what were the 50s like?
What? I'm like 20.
So we have on the show Spring, Summer, Fall, no, not fall, autumn. And winter. Fall yeah. Is just like their sloppy drunk.
Fall got kicked out. It's a really sad story. A lot of infighting. It was terrible.
Fall had a terrible slipping accident. And but we have the 4 girls from Seasons, so we're going to bring them on, and here's our interview with Seasons. The girls of Seasons, welcome to the show, guys. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes here.
Thanks for having us.
you guys look like so happy and like you like each other. Like, no band drama yet, I guess.
Yeah.
You guys look like you hate each other.
We do. Yeah, that makes sense.
You're very
observant.
We've
been doing this for 7 years, so.
Wow. So hatred is filled in the air.
That's why I moved to Georgia. I had to get as far away as possible from him.
Yeah.
Oh no, Georgia, the country, not the state. I'm sure.
Yes,
I wish. Yeah.
I didn't even know where it was, but I said good enough.
That's an inside joke within the Zealots household that you just got let in on.
So, guys, welcome to the show. Thanks for giving us a few minutes here. Where are you guys located at right now?
Los Angeles.
Yep.
LA.
Los Angeles, the city, not the country.
So,
that's its own country.
I guess I'll start here. So, as you guys, we're seeing some kind of light at the end of this pandemic here and whatnot, and touring and music kind of coming back, and people getting ready. How have you, like, I know you guys haven't been together for a real long time, and it seems like you almost started popping up during this whole shutdown and whatnot. How did you guys, like, as far as either making music or rehearsing, how did you guys handle that downtime, if you will?
Yeah, so we are a COVID baby. I mean, at this point we're a COVID toddler, but like we have we got together essentially right before the first lockdown,
right,
and had our first song ready to go right before we got shut down. So that was pretty wild. It's crazy that like after, we feel like we've been together for so long, but the world hasn't seen us like out and about, outdoors, performing live.
But we really got to perfect everything through COVID because we all do live together. Mm-hmm. So that was like, we didn't have to like call each other on the phone. Actually, for a bit, we went home and stayed with our families. Yeah, but like for a lot of COVID, we were all together. So when we were practicing, we got to just do it from our living room instead of maybe like a studio or something.
Nice.
Now, were you all together, or was this a combination through like management that made this group, or how did the band kind of form?
So we were formed in a lab. Together at some
DNA. You're like the Powerpuff Girls. Awesome.
Exactly. That's actually a documentary that they made about us.
Yeah.
Even though it came out long time ago. But we were put together.
Yeah, we've all found each other through an audition, and 2 years later, look at us.
Now,
wearing the same hairstyle for no reason.
I know. This happens on accident.
This is they're not going to see video. Mine's but a little different. Listeners, we're wearing the same hairstyle.
They are. Now, when you guys come together and they, you know, they have the idea of season. So for the people who are just listening now, you all go by the name of a different season: fall, summer, winter, autumn. Was there any arguments about what season you were going to take, or did they have any kind of like, okay, you're more of a winter, you're more of a summer? How'd you guys kind of figure that out?
Definitely that. They were kind of like, you know, you embody spring, you embody summer, like. It just kind of, we all had our name on it, you know? Yeah, it just, it makes sense. Like, look at us. Like, we are obviously the seasons that we are.
Yeah. Yep. Autumn is so sophisticated. She, like, couldn't be anything other than Autumn. Seriously. And, like, I'm so deep.
She's cold.
I couldn't be anything other than winter.
So she's frigid. She's the, Elsa.
She's the ice queen of the group.
Yes. I really am.
And then you add spring. How do you embody spring?
Well, I guess spring's a little different this year. It's a little spicier. So you're in spicy. Right. You go to like some spicy and new shit.
Yeah. Summer's spring. That bubble funny ass.
Summer's that bubble.
No, if you have like, I feel like summer, if there's somebody with like a bubble and they're like, I don't want to like hang out. You're like, no, like I can make you feel included. You pop the bubble and then it's just like hilarious.
She lights up the room like the sun.
Oh my god,
like the sun. Stop, all right.
And then seasons. We're born.
Seasons.
And then seasons.
Yep.
So give us a little background, like as I was researching you, you talked about how your whole writing process is, you're almost like therapists for each other. Kind of explain how that goes. Like, is it just literally just as simple as somebody come in and saying, man, I had a crappy night. And then everybody's like, let's get a pen and pencil. Let's figure out a song right now.
Really? No, like the best, honestly, the best songs that we've written always start when we're not trying to write a song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll be like, just because we are four like best friends, not to be corny. So yeah. It's like,
we're the four best friends like, that anyone could have.
But like when we're just talking naturally, like that's when the best ideas come out. Like not when we like set up a session and go and then sit down and we're like, like what do we want to write about? Like, what? Like it has to come naturally, I feel like.
Also, it sometimes literally comes like so naturally. We're just like talking, yeah, not even trying to have a writing session. Mm-hmm. And like the other day we were walking down the hall from dance class and she was like, oh my God, that should be our next song. And I'm
what was that?
I know. I think I wrote it down, but I don't remember. But see, like, we'll be like literally saying like one sentence and somebody's like, that's the song. Yeah. Like, let's go for it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I wanted to ask each one of you kind of individually what you're, you know, you said you met on an audition. You've kind of come together over the last year. You guys, if you follow them on Instagram on it, you know, they dance, they sing, they, you know, they kind of the whole package, if you will. But what are each of your backgrounds in? Were you singers, dancers growing up? Were you piano players, music? Like, let's get a kind of feel for each of you and what your background was. Let's start with my personal favorite season, Autumn.
Autumn.
That's a great song.
After this, you're gonna not. It's not gonna be your favorite. So I actually grew up singing backup for like big for like a lot of like rock artists, like Panic at the Disco, Fun. Okay. I don't know if you're rock, but like other artists, cool. Frank Ocean, just like a bunch of random artists, and that's how I kind of got into singing. I did a lot of like musical theater, you know, was really into like Josh Groban. And so that was kind of my background. Right. I always played piano growing up. And so, you know, I never really was like a confident enough singer to like want to do a solo act or like be a singer. So then, you know, that's why being in this group was like such an incredible opportunity for me. And like, I immediately wanted to do it because it's like, I love to sing and dance and perform, but I wouldn't want to do it by myself.
Yeah, I understand that.
Interesting. Yeah. So I guess we'll go in succession here after Autumn, Winter. How about you? Your background.
I have been singing since the day that my mother had me and fighting.
You must have been real annoying in the hospital then.
Yeah. But yeah, I used to come home every single day after school and like sing and play piano for like 3 hours from the time I was 13 to like 16. I did that every day. And I'm from Indiana. So when I turned 13 and started doing that, I decided like, I'm gonna move to California one day. And people were like, how? And I'm like, I don't really know, but I'm gonna get there. And here I am. I came out here, I started with acting and I love acting, I still do it. But yeah, I went to this audition and I was thinking that we'd be a girl group at your prom.
Yeah.
But we're just your girl group at Madison everywhere. Square Garden, hopefully.
I would love to do a prom, honestly.
I know.
That would be fun.
Any TV shows?
But not for like a movie, for like a real prom.
Yeah. I'm trying to do a real prom.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested in booking seasons for your prom, please email.
I've never been to prom, so.
No?
Aww. No. I left high school very early to sing and do this.
All right. Well,
that was a great segue. Go.
But
I was going to say, great segue. This
story, I would say grew up on pure soul and passion. So neither of my parents or anybody in my family does music at all. They have no music ability whatsoever. So I've, you know, been singing forever. And I was like, you know what, mom and dad, I want to be a singer. I want to be the biggest performer in the world. And that was my dream. And then they were kind of like, okay, well then school's not how you're going to do that. So we kind of pushed in every avenue and finally, like I was trying out for the boys and like different things and like, you know, at like 15-ish. And then finally I found my way into LA casting, fast forward to now. And my mother came across the ad for this audition and she's like, you're going to this. And I was like, going for this? Like, what is this? And so I just showed up and then boom, I seen these guys and now we're here.
And then finally, we're on to summer there.
I was a trumpet player, you know.
She's so cool.
Which is cool.
I actually used to write like little scores for like short films and stuff for like people I went to school with. But I was doing that, and then I was like dancing and doing that whole thing. Never singing. And then I was like, I just want, I love girl groups and I wanted to be in one so bad. So I showed up.
They're pretty dope.
Okay. Like, Summer used to be a twerk instructor. We never talk about this, but we should.
Well, now we know what we're talking about for the rest of the interview.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's the coolest thing.
Like, is that your official title where you're giving out cards to people and you saw they didn't have rhythm? Here, my card. You need my service.
College, yeah. I was teaching college twerk. So you would, college twerk? You would be a professional twerker.
That's so funny.
I'm, like, embarrassed. I'm, like,
that's what's missing from the Olympics
college.
Right now.
Yeah, he's a college twerker. I mean, it wasn't, like, you didn't get college credits for it.
That's you would have, like, college credits for that?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm double majoring in econ and...
You know, if you're still in the business of teaching twerking, we will fly Mike out this weekend to take a course if we could film.
And you will quit your service once you see that you've been somewhat attacked.
Yeah. Yeah. All the way from Georgia.
Making the dream come true.
Shake that Georgia peach, baby. Come on.
I get my peaches out in Georgia. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
So now that the... You said you formed basically like right before the pandemic last year. Have you, any of you been able to tour as a group, or is this like, are we coming up on your first kind of tour dates? And what's that feeling where it's almost like bottled up? Like you've been making songs, you've been making videos, and it's just like, come on, let us loose.
No, we're barely, we're barely warming up to shows. Like, I mean, when we say we were about to launch and the pandemic hit, like it was boom. And it was so sad for us, really, because we were like,
it's edging.
Yeah, no, well, we were just kind of like, what's going to happen? Is the world going to end? Is the project going to end? And so now it's finally, we're coming out of COVID, and it's really nice to know that like we're doing real band shit for the first time ever.
I got in my cage and I'm doing just fine.
Gotta be
we're doing our first festival in actually like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's that at?
Blended Fest.
Yeah, it's called Blended Fest.
We're so excited.
We've been practicing for like the last month and a half on dances. So we have a 6-song set we're really excited about, 5 original songs and a fun little
bonus.
All right. Well, let's talk about a few of those original songs. You recently released Build a Boy, and you had Tequila with Lime, which seems to be the highest streamed song of yours. What is, like, is your guys, are these songs being put together for a full album release, or right now are you just kind of putting out a single at a time? And also, Build a Boy has an interesting concept, so I wanted to ask you guys about that also. So I guess you can kind of segue from there into that.
I mean, yeah, we started out with this idea that we might have 4 EPs. And as we started putting out music, like the seasons change, we kind of like changed a little bit too. So right now we're sticking to singles, and we have a fun little mini EP or mini album that we're in the works on. We have so many songs already written, so we're just trying to figure out which ones we're ready to put out. And you know, if, because it's the summertime, we want to cater to those summer bops. And
towards the end of summer the EP should be out. That's the goal for us.
Oh, cool. Awesome. And tell us about Build a Boy. Like, what the concept of that? I know you guys kind of did some interviews kind of that I read up on. And it kind of had an interesting concept. All of you have kind of been through some shit, if you will, as far as your personal background. So kind of give us a little insight into that song.
Who wants to?
Yeah,
so I'll go for it.
Yeah, you should go first.
I remember when we wrote this song, like I was like personally, and I know like all of us kind of were like in a really like dark place. Like I had my heart broken for the first time, and I'd never experienced that before. And I was just angsty and angry, and I just wanted to build a boy that was handsome and nice to me. And I just wanted, you know, somebody better, and I'm still looking for him. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
I love that song. It, like, we really connected for the first time on like a different, like more serious level, I think, you know.
Yeah,
that was only like our 4th song that we ever wrote together.
Wow.
So it was before the pandemic even happened. We had written that song, and we were like, oh, it was our first time. I remember in the studio that we were just like, man, this is sad too, because you have to like pull out your emotions and live through them again when you're writing.
It's weird that people say that like it's harder to write a happy song than like a sad song, but I feel like it's the opposite.
I feel like they're completely opposite.
They're liars. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, it's
we can write a happy song any day. No, happy sexy song?
Yeah.
Money done. Sad song? I'm like,
it's hard.
Yeah, like, I don't those emotions like talk away deep.
It's hard to write a genuine.
What is your, like, you know, you're a group and you're also an act that's going to be dancing and moving and things on stage. What is your writing process? Are you guys like, are people giving you songs and then you guys work them out? Are you writing them individually? Are you writing them together? What is your writing process?
Yeah, so for example, like Tequila with Lime, it was kind of like how Mike was saying earlier, like we were all just hanging out. It was one of the first time we had even met. So we were just trying to get to know each other. We were just drinking wine on Summer's old apartment carpet. And we were just talking about going out and like the club scene in LA and just like how we've all kind of had these experiences where we'll go out to have a fun time with the girls. And like, there are these guys that just won't take no for an answer.
Right.
And just like keep bugging you, or like, oh, if you didn't want to be hit on, why'd you dress like that? And stuff, and, you know, that whole thing. And then that's how we started writing Tequila with Lime. And so really like our process, kind of as Summer said earlier, like it, we really will step in to either like our living room or like the studio and be like, this is going on right now. Right. Let's write a song about it. Right. And just start throwing out words that kind of fit the vibe. And we'll all just like throw a lot of stuff in a document.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 2 hours later, like it just is a song.
And sometimes we like go in and we're like, this is what we're gonna write about. Like we were like planning on writing about something specific, and then we go in, we start like talking about it, and you know, different words come out that veer it into a whole new song, and we're like, actually let's press pause on that idea and do this. So it's always a go with the flow
kind of. We really try to do what's just feeling natural rather than forcing.
Right.
And I think that really comes off.
We have been given songs, like we've been sent songs that people were like, hey, do you like this? And we're not against singing someone else's songs, but we really love writing together and creating together. So we're never going to sing someone else's song unless we just like,
A badass song, to be honest with you. If there's a badass song, we're going to be like, hell yeah, that's the sickest shit ever. But like right now we're on a wave of like writing our own shit. That's so sick.
So anybody that feels good,
if you have an badass song, DM me. Send it our way.
You might.
Has Summer's trumpet made an appearance on a song yet or no?
Almost all of them.
Yeah?
I think
that's awesome.
Build a Boy. Yeah. If you haven't heard the extended Build a Boy,
this trumpet solo.
No, she's so
that's
good.
Coming soon.
You should go grab it right now.
I'm going to play it at the live shows too.
Yeah, which is so cool.
That's like awesome. That's awesome.
Well, I shouldn't have given away the surprise, but there's going to be a moment.
Everybody close their ears and pretend they didn't hear.
We
don't know how to keep surprises.
Now, even as I was reading up, like the word controversial comes up when you talk about your lyrics. I mean, it's kind of interesting, like the double standard. Like a Jay-Z can say, I got 99 problems with a bitch ain't one, and nobody blinks an eye to it. But you say, hey, I'm at a club, I didn't come for you guys, and it's kind of controversial. I mean, how much does that kind of like drive you and then like empowering this band and this and all your songs with that kind of thought?
I mean, like, of course it does. Yeah. We're so driven by spite.
Yeah.
Good name for a song. Driven by spite.
Honestly, I've had like people that are in my like circle be like, oh, like you guys, like a guy specifically that's like, oh, like you guys kind of have like a lot of like hating on men song. It's like, no, we're not hating on men. Like,
when did men get so sensitive?
I think like, you know, it comes, like, that's what we get a lot of, is like people not under, like thinking that we're hating. And it's like, no, like that, like what you were saying, Michael, like
fair is fair.
A double standard.
We all stand for fair is fair.
Yeah.
Also, you got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one, so do I. Like,
easy. Also, we love men. We love men. The problem, if you know, if someone's asking us, and this literally does happen all the time, like, why do you guys hate men? It's like, that's why. You can't understand that at the end of the day. Yeah, it's like that shared
video. Men are the coolest.
Yeah, literally.
I am a rich man.
So,
you know, we obviously want to make music that makes everyone feel included, makes everybody feel badass on their drive to work. You know, yeah. Every young girl and
kind of shows grandma. The struggles of women, because we are four women in this business that have seen struggles and will see more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, writing about that in our lyrics, I mean, some would say it's controversial, and even if it shouldn't be, and you know, we're not gonna probably stop doing that, because that's what comes to us now.
Yeah, I think it's way less more of a band together with us because we hate men, and yeah. more of just band together with us because we're strong women. Yeah. You want to show other women how to go out and be badass, and you know, say, you know, shoot your shot, but I'm gonna say no, like, sorry, if I want to, you know, speaking up for yourself, setting boundaries, you know.
So, like, so that's awesome. So what is the reaction? Like, you're starting at the bottom, and you're together, and you're putting out songs. You're starting to get music. What is the reaction from, like, building a fan base and reaching out to fans, and kind of how have you guys gone about doing that? Is it mostly social media, or like how's the reaction been so far?
It's been great, honestly. Yeah. We get a lot of love and support on TikTok. We do some really cool, funny videos and like transitions that, like, our song Behave did really, really well in there. Also Tequila did as well, excuse me. But we do a lot of fun, like, stuff where we dress up and just, like, get, you know, like, just, like, have fun, you know? Yeah.
TikTok is really where we've had, like, a lot of interaction with fans, especially because new people see us. So, like, they're like, wait, if we say like autumn or like spring, and then they see like seasons down at the bottom, they're like, wait, what? Is that their names? Are they sisters? Like a lot of like questions like that, which is really funny. And so we're like able to interact with things like that too, and like explain more about us through that app.
Yeah. And also, like, we have been, since we are a COVID toddler, like the only way that we've been able to interact with fans is through TikTok and Instagram,
internet.
People discovering us on there, and then like coming over to our YouTube, coming over to our Spotify. And so it's like, yeah, we haven't been able to do shows and meet people in person, like get fans in that way. Yeah. So it's been a very unique experience.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
We have some really loyal Instagram fans that just like go hard on the editing. They're so good.
That's great. Yeah.
Like, they find photos of us that I didn't even know existed.
Did you DM my mom?
I was like, yes. Like, how did you get that?
Yeah, it was on my dad's Facebook. Like,
literally, I'm like, I love it though. I'm like, hell yeah.
Googling Summer's mother, you know? Can you send me pictures?
All right. I'm going to ask a couple of random questions, rapid fire. When I ask this question, tell me, which season is more likely to be this?
We love this game.
Fun. Okay. I love this game. Okay.
Most likely to lose their car keys.
Oh,
me.
Winter. My girl, winter.
Huh?
Definitely summer.
Me? Really? I never lose my
car. I literally just lost my car keys. And I had to pay $250.
Okay, wait, we're rapid firing.
Oh, yes. Okay, rapid fire.
Mixed results on that question. There was a lot of fingers going in every direction there, but I guess Winter got that one, I guess.
Most likely to throw a rock at a car.
Spring.
That was an easy one.
Yeah. That would have been my guess, too. She said a lot of, like, fire and things like that. So that was my guess of the group.
Fire! I'm like, who wants a rock at their car? Just kidding. I would never throw a rock at your car, but maybe a cupcake or, like, a piece of cheese.
I would never do real damage.
A piece of cheese could be worse than that L.A. sun if it just sits on the paint.
Most likely to go to an opera.
That was really good.
I've been to many an opera.
Except I would love to go to an opera.
Me too. We should go.
Yeah.
Phantom of the Opera.
Can we like wear fancy dresses?
Oh, and little glasses?
Guys, we are horrible at speaking.
Okay. Go.
Most likely to be in a mosh pit.
Me.
Summer.
Summer.
Well, we know each other so well.
Definitely summer. Summer be moshing. I stay moshing.
And finally, most likely to chug a bottle of tequila.
Stop.
Summer wins again.
For summer,
we each got one.
Yeah.
We learned a lot more about everybody today. That was a good
surprise. I know. If you have any more, I'm having fun.
I know. That was really good.
Well, I will ask you, who has the worst taste in music?
Oh,
I think, I think
yeah.
Oh, come on. Who's got?
It's unique.
It is unique.
We'll put it this way. When we're all in the car together, we don't listen to.
We don't give Autumn.
We don't.
She puts on like old ass fucking 2000.
And I'm like, okay, this is cool.
I like it. Yeah, it's the vibe. It'll be like Stella Went Down to Georgia by the Charlie Daniels Band. Dynamite by Tayo Cruz.
Fun.
DJ got a song.
And then I go, Ox is mine again.
Yeah.
You started off good, then you started to lose me. I would have liked The Devil Went Down to Georgia. That's a good one.
Okay.
So guys, you guys are definitely, you're on the right track. You're fun. You're not taking the, you know, yourselves too seriously. I mean that in the best way possible. And you definitely have a sound that I see very marketable to, you know, to all sorts of different groups. So I want to thank the four of you for coming on the show, and me and Mike wish you the most success as you guys put these albums out and start to get out on the tour. Before you go, where is the best place for fans to follow you or anybody hearing this interview to go, hey, I want to check these girls out and see what they got going on?
Yeah, you can follow us everywhere at Seasons Official. That's S-Z-N-S Official. We're on Spotify, Apple, iTunes. Apple, Amazon Music, anywhere that you get your tunes. Make sure you go on YouTube, on TikTok. We got music videos. I mean, the whole nine yards.
You can find us everywhere.
Yeah.
SZNS Official.
Yeah.
Seasons.
Well,
we don't do vowels here.
No vowels.
At first, Mike thought we were interviewing SZNS, and he was like, what's that acronym mean? I'm like, it's Seasons. He's like, oh.
It's very deep. Oh. Very layered.
It's okay. We're used to it.
You got
Seasons and SZNS.
That's awesome. You guys are awesome. We wish you all the luck in the future, and we'll love to have you on again when you guys are touring all over the country.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This was so fun.
That was
have
really
a great
fun.
Rest of your night.
Autumn. Winter. Spring. Summer. Seasons. Hey, that's our interview with Seasons.
Yeah, they got a date coming up on August 10th in Nashville. I hope you just like invade Nashville and jump out on stage and figure I'm going to introduce Seasons this way.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think I could get what was it, Summer with the trumpet. Maybe she could play behind it. But yeah,
Scotty and the Seasons.
Yeah. So, what was your? They remind me. You know, they remind you of the. You know, kind of a lot of the boy bands, girl bands we've seen, like, you know, you had your Backstreet Boys, your New Kids on the Block, your Spice Girls, your Destiny's Child. Who do you think is like the king of the kind of groups like that? The boy bands, the girl bands. Who do you think is like the top?
I guess you got to give it to NSYNC just because they've all had that success and a pretty decent amount of individual success. I mean, obviously Timberlake is his own stratosphere, but the others had a decent amount of individual with it. Where I think you gotta give him to right there.
It's gotta be the worst to be like the one guy out of the five that just like never did anything afterwards. Like, because the odds of all five having massive success is very low, right? But I think you got Lance Bass. He's doing really well on like Broadway and plays and stuff like that. I think the one guy, Joey Fatone, has a whole bunch of different things going on. He's like on Impractical Jokers sometimes. He's got like a hot dog business. I think the one guy, JC, had a music career. And there's always like that fifth guy that I have no idea what happened to him.
Chris Kirkpatrick?
Yeah. No idea what happened to him.
Yeah.
It's probably always the guy who had like braids or something. Like the white guy with braids, like some guy named like Howie or something.
you feel he's like the one member while all of them are like doing their stuff. They look at their cell phone. It's like, now, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Have you guys thought about getting the band back together again? No, we're kind of busy, Chris. I miss you guys. We know, Chris.
Yeah, like, I find it funny, like, the New Kids on the Block will still do shows, and, like, I mean, they got to be, like, 50 years old now, right? Like, they're still singing, like, Hang Tough and all, you know? I feel like that's got to expire at some point.
Well, they did that re-imaging at one point where they weren't New Kids. They were NKOTB.
Yes.
It was almost like trying to hide who they are. It's like, oh, there's some new band here. This should be interesting. Oh, damn it. I know who that is.
If we were seasons, like if it was just the two of us, what season would you think you would fit most?
I guess autumn for Pumpkin Spice.
I would say autumn too. Just because I don't like...
Can we just name the band the two autumns? Hey, I'm Autumn, and I'm Autumn, and we're the two Autumns.
I like football. I like Pumpkin Spice. We are the two Autumn.
Hey, is Halloween around the corner?
Oh, and then we split up and have like a battle over who's the real Autumn. You know?
Yeah, I do my solo project, the Fall Guy. No, I'm not Autumn, man.
I'm not an Autumn.
I'm my own self. I'm my own Fall Guy.
Oh God. Well, anyway, speaking of reimaging, did you see the Ghostbusters trailer?
I saw it. No, I
think it was good.
Yeah.
I think it was good. There's my one friend on that I went to high school with on Facebook. Like, I guess he must be super duper like into the Ghostbusters. He like posted all these Easter eggs that were just in the trailer. Really interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, so you've seen it at the end, and Dan Aykroyd answers the phone, and like the phone was the red phone from the, you know, from their.
From the firehouse,
and it was also Ray's occult books, which was like the bookshop he was running. And then like there was one thing in there that when they said stacking books like vertically in the first movie, like in the original Ghostbusters, was a sign of something. And then apparently, if you look in the background, there's like a whole bunch of books stacked up. And then there was a statue of Zool, and then. I don't know. There was a whole bunch of Egon things in there too. I was like, damn, how did you find? Like, I don't know if he got it off a website or he actually like figured these things out. But there was a whole bunch of them. I'm like, oh, that actually makes me kind of excited about the movie.
Will they finally give some respect to Winston?
He's got to be in there.
Oh, in Ghostbuster.
My favorite was Winston was in the movie and not on the cover of the movie poster.
Yeah, the commercial, the old school commercial. It's Aykroyd and Murray and who played Egon?
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis. Yeah, it's the three of them. Like none of it. Like even if you remember the movie, it was just pretty much like you believe in ghosts. I'll believe in anything if you pay me.
Yep.
I'm like, what
is that? Now I'm usually cautious about like. I don't know, like remakes or things that like are like pretty well past the time, but this one's got me kind of intrigued. I like that they kind of like move the setting completely. It seems like it's in some rural like thing. I'm guessing. I watched the trailer twice. My guess is that Janine and Egon got married. Possibly, is that what they're going for?
That's what it looks like,
right? Which like, makes
that's
sense.
What they always hinted.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess my one question in all of this is how bad of a uncle or grandfather or whatever is Egon where it's like, I'm going to bequeath you this house. Oh, by the way, there's millions of ghosts underground
that are
ready to explode and destroy the world. Just a heads up. Oh, no, I'm not going to give you a heads up. You're going to discover that on your own.
I'm calling some kind of ghost Egon involvement. Like, either like a helpful ghost or he's going to like, I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a, a tribute to Harold Ramis in some ways too, because you know he's kind of the co-creator, original writer, and things like that. So I see that coming somewhere in that movie.
Well, that was basically what Bill Murray wanted if he was going to come back for Ghostbusters 3. I mean, because he was the one that was holding up, saying like, "No, I don't want to do this," or whatever. Where he's pretty much being like Harrison Ford with Han Solo. It's like, "I'll come back if you kill me."
Yeah, yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic about this one. Like a lot of them, I'm kind of like, "Eh, whatever." But I think at least just that trailer had a great amount of nostalgia, but also looked like they were kind of doing a whole different story in like a new set. So, and Paul Rudd is pretty, you know, he's pretty good. He's pretty, he does a lot of hits. So if they're going to get Bill Murray back, even in a small role, and there was another like thing, apparently the toy makers released like a bunch of the toys, and Peter and Winston are all toys, and they're all just like older looking Ghostbusters. So they got to be in the movie. Well, we know Dan Aykroyd is, but Bill Murray, I feel like, is so selective about what he does. I feel like it's got to be somewhat good, and the script's got to be pretty good, and they got a great director. So it's got to be, it does have some promise.
Well, to your initial point, keep in mind, they all did a cameo in the female Ghostbusters.
They did.
So that's not a...
That's true.
I mean, I guess, and that's the kind of biggest question. If we all like this Ghostbusters, are we going to be called a-holes for hating the female Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah, we'll be called misogynists and things like that, but, you know.
I mean, I'll be truly honest, I've never seen it, but, like, not fully, but I've seen... Like when it comes up on FX or something like that, I'll watch like a half a scene. I'll be like, nope.
I saw most of it, and it doesn't even, as far as the female cast, if that's the direction they wanted to go in, it seems really, really like rammed down your throat. Like, we're all female, like, ha ha ha. And the tone of the movie doesn't. What makes the Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters movie, so great and stand the test of time, it's a really funny, like, well-written dialogue kind of movie. Like, there's a lot of, like, funny lines in Ghostbusters that you don't pick up on. Like, you almost have to watch it again, and you pick up on, like all the little, I can't think of one, off the cuff.
I mean, the best line I always love, is this true? It is true. He's a dick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, the best comedy line ever, possibly.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of little great dialogue. I mean, you had three really powerful comics in that movie, comedic actors, and the tone of that movie, like the dialogue is so cool in that movie that it kind of, like, any cheesy parts just kind of go with the movie. Like, it just fits. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it stands the test of time. You don't sit there and go, oh man, the graphics are terrible. Like, it all kind of just holds up after a while. Like, I feel like Ghostbusters does hold up. And the girls one didn't, like, not one part of it was like, oh man, this is classic. I want to watch this again. It just felt forced, and it felt like the tone was not even close to the Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, I love Kristen Wiig. I love the other one from SNL, the blonde, Kate McKinnon.
Yep.
Never been huge on McCarthy or Leslie Jones, but everything, I mean, I try to give everything a chance, but like everything, every attempt, it's like, can't, no, yeah, no. I watched 1 minute, I'm like, I don't know how you're going to come from down there and come up here. It's kind of like tuning into a baseball game and your team's down 13-0.
Yeah.
You literally say, I have no reason to figure out how we're going to win this one, so why am I going to stick around for it?
It just wasn't good. It just wasn't. It was forced. It was, like, if I'm a woman, I'm not even like, I don't know. I'm not like, I need an all female cat. Like, I feel like they could have done like empowering women characters way better and incorporated them more into the world of Ghostbusters than they did. But either way, I do think the trailer has some promise. One thing I'm hope it does have the kid from Stranger Things. And I'm kind of like, some stuff in the trailer almost looks a little Stranger Things. I hope they kind of keep the tone of Ghostbusters and keep it more in that world than the, even though Stranger Things is kind of based in the 80s and horror, but I think that's my one worry. To find that tone again is going to be tough.
I hope Paul Rudd brings in his character from Friends.
I
feel that's what we'll do. I hope, like, as they're fighting the ghost, he brings up, my wife wrote the song Smelly Cat.
What if there was a ghost of his character from Friends, you know, like it was one of the ghosts they fight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the first movie I've ever seen where he looks aged. So that would be like a great thing. Like regular Paul Rudd shows up and he's like, you don't have a beard. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. But yeah, either way, I'm cautiously optimistic about this one. I think I'm actually going to go see that. A lot of them I don't see. A lot of the remakes, I just, nah. But I think I might go see that one in theaters. As long as the Delta variant doesn't wipe out everything again. But, you know. So.
What are the odds of that?
What do you got, Mike?
I know you want me to kind of talk about the one thing on Facebook, but I'm going to talk about another thing tonight. I had a very weird excursion when I went out to breakfast with the wife. We went to a place called the Flying Biscuit Cafe. I don't think there's any of them up north. I'm not sure if you ever heard of them, but it's kind of like a, you know, the equivalence of your IHOPs and all that stuff. It's like a chain. Right. They do like breakfast biscuit stuff and all. It's very good. But I had like two little events when we went there after our 10K that we were at. I'll be kind of interested your thoughts on this. So my first part of the story was like after we did like a tough run and we're sat down, we're both like, all right, we gotta go to the bathroom. So I do my business in the bathroom and I come back to the table and Izzy's there and she's like, man, I gotta go bad, but they have no toilet paper in the ladies' room. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll go in the men's room, I'll hook you up and so you can go do your business and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I go back in. Of course, they have like a little cabinet or whatever. I'm looking in there, see they got spare ones. I got nothing there. So all I can do is basically just wrap a ton of toilet paper around my hand and take that to her.
Right.
So the men's room is right across from the ladies' room. So I'm ready. She's like, I got to go bad. Your first thought is what? You open the door, your wife's going to be there. She's not there. I'm kind of looking and I take a peek around the corner and she's over at the table, like talking to some regular person. Mm. Like she's like sipping her coffee or whatever. And I can't come out to go grab her because like I got a full mummy ham going right now. And there's no proper way to explain a mummy hand coming out of the toilet. So I had to do.
Well, it'd be great if you did go over and she's like, oh no, babe, sit down. And you're just like sitting there sipping coffee with your mummy wrap on. Like, oh, where do you work?
My toilet paper hand.
Yeah. Where do you work? You know, weather is hot today.
Yeah. I'm a very messy eater. I have to be prepared.
We have to mummy him up before every meal.
Yes. Yeah. So I had to kind of do the quiet, but loud enough. Like yelled at her, it's like, Izzy!
Now, folks, if you're just tuning in, Mike doing the quiet thing is very difficult for him. Like, he in his mind, he's going, Izzy? In real people's world, he's going, Izzy! It's echoing across the restaurant.
The walls are shaking, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. In fact, Mike does not even have a microphone right now. He's just...
I am... talking regularly in Georgia.
It's right actually now. Picking up on my mic in Jersey.
Yeah. Like I've just got a call from West Virginia and said, can you quiet down?
And stop podcasting.
But so I had that. Luckily, she finally came over, took the wad of toilet paper, did her business, and came back to the table. So we're eating our breakfast, and I noticed in the front there's a guy with like a helium tank and whatever, and he's like preparing balloons pod for like, I'm like, okay, they must have like a kids party, whatever. That's nice. You know, yeah. They have somebody brought extra entertainment or
It'd be
like
funny
that.
If he was using all the toilet paper in the restaurant.
I put it around my hand and I fill it with helium and it's just like a balloon.
He's got all the rolls, just like streamers hanging off all the balloons.
So I'm like, okay, that's nice. Our food comes out, and then all of a sudden he comes up to us and he starts doing magic tricks.
As you're eating.
Yeah, like I'm literally, I have like a fork full of like, why am I to get like eggs with salmon in it? I'm like, I'm shoveling it in as he comes up. He's like, hey, you pick a color, red or black, and you pick a number, and then you pick a suit.
God.
And it's kind of the trick where you go like eight of diamonds, and then he has like caricatures on the back of the card, so when you flip it, it's like a little cartoon, and in the end the last card comes out, oh, it's eight of diamonds and all that's so amazing, whatever, it's a cute trick or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's great. And then all of a sudden he asks for another card and he basically just does the exact same trick in front of us and we're still chowing down. And then he's doing a rubber band trick where it's like two rubber bands and it's like, oh, how'd that get behind that rubber band? And then comes back and it comes forth. And I'm being as nice as possible. I'm tired from the 10K. I'm hungry, trying to eat. And he keeps going and he's not getting the hint. So like I'm getting thoughts of like, am I supposed to be tipping this guy? And so then he goes into explaining the rubber band trick where it's like, oh, it's a special rubber band that like it just sticks together and it's just a soft point or whatever. Oh, that's great. Then he makes a balloon hat for Izzy. So I'm getting, this goes on for like a half an hour as I'm trying to eat my breakfast. And then in the end, he's like, thank you. And he walks away. And I'm almost like, what the hell is the point of that?
So he just focused on just the two of you, nobody else in the restaurant, and just busted like five, six tricks in a row.
Yeah, and it's a packed restaurant. It's not like he had slim pickings. He just like sat in front of us where I got to the point I'm like looking at Izzy like, I don't have any money in my wallet. What am I supposed to do here?
Maybe one. Are you sure he worked for the restaurant in any? Are you sure he just wasn't some mental case?
Well, I mean, people from the restaurant, like our waitress was coming by and like nobody was going, hey, you get out of here. We told you.
Okay. Two, no, maybe.
Biscuit.
Maybe he saw you with your mummy hand and he thought you were competition. Like you're like, oh, no. What? This guy.
Oh, he's doing characters. Oh, wait a minute.
Man, he's gonna do the toilet paper trick. I've known that since 72. I got to go up to him and show him, you know. Maybe he was peacocking a little bit, like, I'm the best magician here. This is my territory. You are not going to eat breakfast today, pal.
When I woke up this morning, I said, I am the prime magician for the Flying Biscuit in Kennesaw, Georgia. I was not going to accept competition today.
What if he's just like, ooh, I'll make your eggs disappear and just like, no breakfast.
I would probably say my knife is going to disappear in your back if I don't get my grub back.
Oh, God. Yeah, that is strange. Very strange. That just reminds me of like, we've talked about it before when like comedy is pigeonholed into places it shouldn't be. Like bars when people are watching the game and they do it in the middle of the bar or like they do it in a crowded spot where people are dancing and stuff. Like just having a magician show up while you're trying to, you know, have your waffle is a very strange idea.
Yeah. And like the first thought was just, okay, there's some kind of party, but there was nothing that came from that, you know, talking from him where it looked like he was there for a specific party and he kind of just went on to another table and just did his thing after he left us.
Weird. That, certainly bizarre, dude. You, You have some bizarre experiences that come your way. Like, you have a very interesting bit. You're either scaring people half to death by mistake, or random magicians are coming up to you at breakfast, or I don't know, you're doing half-naked workouts over Zoom calls, and your pants are falling down. Like, you have a lot of unique things happen to you. You're like a guy that strange things happen to.
Yeah, I kind of knows that. I mean, like, when things start happening, I just...
You got in a fight. You got in a fight with a lady with an oxygen tank at an amusement park. Like, just weird occurrences happen to you.
Yeah, and when it all ends, I just shake my head and go, "It's got to be me." I don't like I tell a story and somebody's like, "That is the most crazy thing," and all. It's like, "All right, sit back. I got 9 more to tell you."
Well, it at least provides good content for the podcast. So,
yeah.
If you're weird and you live in Georgia, please find Mike and whatever meal he's having next. Show him your, your sleight of hand tricks or your acoustic guitar song you're writing while he's eating lunch next time.
Yeah. If you know how to play the banjo, I'm going to be doing brunch in Atlanta this Sunday. Come on in. Like, don't even introduce yourselves. Like, just go right into a bluegrass song. Don't even give me any context or whatever. Just get right into it. Like, as I'm trying to drink a mimosa, I want to hear the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band on a banjo, okay?
Yeah, and while Mike's out for brunch, I'll be performing...
on an oil tanker.
On an oil tanker in the Mid-Atlantic. So if you want to come check out that show, please make your reservations with Captain Bill's Fishery in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. But
Scott, nobody thinks about putting a comedy show on during a hurricane, but we know we'll have no competition. Come on. Give me all your headliners and 25 of their best YouTube videos.
I always think it might be funny, like, we get these guests on that are like these up-and-coming acts. They're like looking for stardom, or they've done all these amazing things. They have so many amazing – and then they like hear us talk like after they – like if they actually listen to the episode, they're like, wow, Scott's performing in a field with a gazebo for 7-year-olds, and Mike is watching a breakfast magician. Why did we do – we need to talk to our agent, like, to book us on better podcasts.
But not Seasons. They're coming back next week.
That's correct.
I know it. They're going to hear this stuff, and they're like, that's the people who understand Seasons.
Maybe they'll come on next season.
That is why you're the outdoor comedian of the year, Scott.
Thank you.
That's how you got that title.
Thank you very much. All right, I think it's time to wrap this this bad boy up here. I don't like that I just said bad boy. Ugh. Let's wrap this thing up here. Mike, anything to promote before we let the audience go?
I guess I will give out a good luck to our friends at Rugby ATL. Scott, they're in the Major League Rugby Championship.
Let's go.
This Sunday, going up against LA. They just won their conference. They beat New York last week, 10-9, and they're going for their first title in, I believe this is their second year. I mean, they even, their first year was an abbreviated season because they had to stop because of COVID. So it's just an amazing feat. And hats off to them, and bring home the trophy back to Atlanta, because nobody else wins in Atlanta.
You should go to the game, and then while you're watching the game, you're going to get some kind of like mascot like performing in front of you so you can't see the whole time.
Well, what was the mountain goat? Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I'm trying to watch the championship, and just like a huge mountain goat is like in front of me. I'm just like screaming, I'm trying to understand the game. Please get out of my way. And then just the mountain goat just starts doing magic tricks.
Wasn't it like the mountain donkey or something? Yeah, something even more absurd. Yeah. I will promote pretty cool. A comic I worked with like 2 years ago at a fundraiser. When I saw him, I was just like, this kid is super talented. Like, if he keeps it up, he's going to be big. And he just posted the other day. His name is Gianmarco Cerisi, and he got a Comedy Central half hour coming out. So he's going to go film his Comedy Central half hour. So he's going to be filming at the Knitting Factory in New York City on July 30th if you're interested in trying to go, which is in Brooklyn. Or just keep an eye out for Gianmarco Cerisi. I think the kid's there's something about him, the performance, the look, the everything. I could see this kid being a very, very good comic. So keep your eyes open for that. Other than that, guys, it's been really cool. We've been getting a lot of random likes on social media, a lot of followers. I have no idea why, and I hope it's because you're tuning into our content and enjoying it, and maybe people are spreading the word from one person to the next, but we'll take it. So please keep interacting with us. Please keep sending us messages. We dig it. We have fun. If you guys want a t-shirt or something, let me know. Other than that, please leave reviews on iTunes. It just keeps populating the podcast. And that's it, guys. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
And my children, I'll be listening to your prayers as you play bocce ball this weekend.
Aww.